I certainly do thank the Lord for all that He is and all that He means to me. I was thinking of this song here. This says, "Transported, communing with Jesus, what worth? I'm feasting with Him from above." The Word of God is powerful. It is beautiful. It's not to be regarded lightly. It's precious. It's a treasure. And we are getting ready to enter into a revival. So I would like to give a little, challenge maybe? Encouragement as to how we receive this word. So let's start with that now so that we can be prepared to receive the word of God. I love revivals. Revivals are a time of refreshing. It's also meant to carry us forward, to challenge us deeply, and to admonish us. So when you see the Word of God come to you in through the Word, through the messages, it is not to discourage at all. But if you find for some reason that you have been, it has landed in your lap, so to speak, rejoice in that. Because the Lord wants to save us from ourselves. That's what it is. And I appreciate that. So I'd like for us to start out with the regard of the Word of God. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Maybe some little ways that we can tweak our experience in receiving this revival that we are to have, Lord willing. So if we could go to Matthew, the 13th chapter and the 18th verse. It says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulations or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Concentrating on that last verse, he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. The good ground does not just happen. Good ground, I'd like to think of a garden, flower beds. You don't sow into something that is hard as clay. You have to hoe it. You have to plow it. You have to break it up. So I'd like for us to go to Hosea, the 10th chapter. That gives a little instruction there as well. Hosea, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse, it says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, breaking up your fallow ground." And the fallow ground has been left idle. It is meant as there's been no seed sown in it. But you have to break it up. You have to allow the Lord to plow it deeply, to break up the clods, to root out the roots or perhaps sticks or rocks, to get rid of that. And that is something you need to do between now and then, okay? To receive this word that we are going to have in our future here. "Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." So I really feel like that we need to already give thanks for the word that he is going to prepare for us. That in a sense, we have a burden. We need to have a burden for Brother Rodney, for Brother Curtis Williams, as they bring forth this fruit. Because the devil wants to snatch that before it is even sown. So he works on a minister double time, I believe. He tries to clutter their thoughts. tries to make them nervous, tries to lend the ability to just not be able to clearly say what you're meant to say. That's the devil behind that. And we need to pray that he be stopped, that we break up the fallow ground in our own lives so that we can receive the word. And it said that it could increase to 30, 60, and 100 fold. And the reason we need that increase is that's our food. That is our spiritual growth. And it doesn't affect just us. It affects our children. It affects the people around us. It affects our eternity. This is preparation for the word. I do believe that it is precious. So if you'll go with me to Romans, the 10th chapter, and it's to be regarded as precious. We are taking time out of our lives to imbibe in the word of God. Romans 10 and 15, it says, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." How beautiful it is to receive the word of God. We need to be thankful. We do not have a fear of entering those doors back there to come in and worship together. We do not have a fear of pulling into the gated drive because there's some soldier standing there getting ready to shoot us, knowing that we are assembling without orders. We need to be thankful for that, and we need to take advantage of that. Every time you have the chance to be in these services, be there. So that is my next, Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 35th verse. We have a precious resource within our reach now on our phones, churchofgodpreaching.com. It is wonderful. It is a valuable tool now. I thank the Lord for that. It is precious. But being here in the now is also precious. When we eat, do we sit down and there is a plate and we have three vitamins on it? Is that how we eat? You could do that, but it doesn't last for very long. It's not very healthy for you. Where do they say you need to get your vitamins? From the foods that contain those vitamins, because your body is able to absorb it. And I'm not saying churchofgodpreaching.com is vitamins. It's more than that. But I do believe I have a friend that, and in fact, they almost make excuse as to why they didn't attend, because they can rely on churchofgodpreaching.com. So they don't have to be there. They can just 30 minutes or 40 minutes later. But there's something you miss by not being here. There's something you miss by not being here. And that is the fresh word of God. You can have it canned. And canned vegetables are fine, but they've also found that in canning it, there's a loss of nutrients, just a tad. Have you noticed that? That the fresh has that you cannot obtain in a canned. So I want you to be encouraged to attend as much as you possibly can. It is worth being here, because what's lost is, just a little bit, and I'm not here to criticize, because I love it. I really do. It's a grand resource. What's lost is a couple of things I'd like to point out. When we're here in services, we hear the voices of each other in our singing. And sometimes singing is the prelude to the Word of God. And it's already prepared our hearts to receive the Word of God, and we don't have that in that resource. The other thing is, when you thumb through and you get to pick the message, you get to pick the preacher. It's already notated there. That is the way it is found. So you thumb through there. So I want a Brother Dan Doolittle message right now, you know. Click. Whereas when we are here, we don't rely on that. We do have a messenger that is here, but we have no idea what they're going to preach on. And the spontaneity of that is called the Holy Spirit. And that is precious. Because when the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, it spoke to each one of them in their own language. And the Word of God is so powerful, it will do that even now. And it will speak to you in your own language. This is why we do not have a pre-printed program. Because when you do that, you are usurping authority rather than letting the Holy Spirit. I don't know of any other group that does that. And it does open yourself up to perhaps some failures and some possible awkward situations. But I will say it's still the most powerful method that there is. And I'm spoiled to it. I love it. When we go to Monarch, we do not have a program. We do not know who's going to get up. And we do not know what they're going to preach about. But you know why? It's because we're depending on the Holy Spirit. We're depending on the prayers of the saints that say, Lord, would you please fill the pulpit for the hour of the message? It's very important. We're not just saying we want to hear a favorite preacher. We don't do that, because the Word of God is given in this pulpit. The messenger matters not. But for us to receive it, and the Lord knows how to bring particular doses of what He needs for you to have, and it's a perfect portion. And they heard that in their own language. And there's been times I've been so amazed that you might hear have a testimony services afterwards, and they'll talk about something that preacher said, and I don't remember that being said at all, because I was zoned in on something else that the Lord was feeding me with. That is powerful. It is precious. We don't want to lose it. So if you're not here, you can't get it. You can't get that. So Hebrews 10 and 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There is something that can be gotten here fresh that you can't get anyplace else. Also, we need to see one another. We need to know your presence. We need to know your exhortation and your backing and your love. And you can't feel that at home very much. I think you can in some ways, but it's still limited. It's just very limited. So be here. Be here. Matthew, the 11th chapter, Jesus' words. He said it a lot, but it's because sometimes we can get dull of understanding and we just kind of la-da-da-da-da, blah, blah, blah. But when the word of God is coming forth, let us have a listening ear. 11 and 15 of Matthew. He says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Listen. Listen closely. So a method of listening sometimes is to take a note, to write the scriptures down, to put a notation there of perhaps what was said or a little bit, so that you can throughout the next week remind yourself of those things so that it can recall to memory. You can just have maybe one word, but it'll facilitate thought patterns that can go in a direction that will feed your soul. See, there's that part of that 30, 60, and 100 fold, because you've been a hearer of the word. And there's also another admonition, and it's in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and the 24th verse. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So don't just hear them. That's another thing that is a bad habit. People love to hear. There are some people who love, especially, they love strong messages. Messages that are hellfire and brimstone. They love those. They just feed off of those. But they love to hear them. And they don't do anything about it. They just love to be associated with that, but they don't. It doesn't change their life. And it should have. It should have, because it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I used to think this little story was all about building that foundation on Jesus as he's the rock. But no, it's your obedience to the word that is the rock. It says, I will liken them unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and that rock is your obedience to the word. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It was founded upon your obedience of the word. You're hearing the word and doing it. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And if you notice, The circumstances were not different for either one. The circumstances were the same. The winds blew, the rains came, but it said it fell, and great was the fall of it. It's because they heard the word, but they did not do it. They refused to do it. And it's a recipe for disaster. You'll be offended, you'll be discontent, and you'll walk away because you heard the word, but you refused to do the word. James, the first chapter, also has a little admonition for us. James 1 and 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That's precious to me because we look into the perfect word of God. We look into the perfect law of liberty. And what happens is when we see our reflection, there's something a little off. But the Lord sends his spirit to change that. Oh, I need to fix that. I need to adjust that somehow. Instead of going away messed up like you were before. The Lord wants you to look into the Word of God to see yourself as you are and then change it. He doesn't want us to walk around looking messy and unkempt because we just looked into the Word of God, but when we walked away from it, we forgot about what we were. It says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And that blessing is the 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's part of that breaking up of that fallow ground. Lord, help me to be willing to see myself as I am. I know I don't want to reflect badly. I don't mean this at all. I've appreciated it. But a couple of years back, I received admonition from my children that said, Mom, when you eat, you keep your mouth open. You don't shut your mouth when you eat. And you talk with your mouth open. And then you say, everybody can see all your food. And I had no idea. I don't look at myself in the mirror when I eat. But I was embarrassed by that. And I was shocked. And do you know what? I am thankful for that admonition because I wasn't aware of that. And there's been other things, too, that they've helped me along with, and I appreciate that. But sometimes it's like, oh, no, here it comes again. I'm here. I'm going to get ready to hear something. But it's because it's for your own protection, and it has taken several years, and I am still working on it. I will try not to talk with you with my mouth full of food and being open. But that's what this Word of God is. There are times we do things that are shameful or embarrassing. And the Lord's trying to show you yourself, to save you from yourself. Oh, I didn't realize that was me. Because we just cannot see ourselves like we really are. But when you mirror in the Word of God, you will see yourself as you are. And sometimes it's not pretty. But don't be discouraged with that. Don't be all downcast saying, I've done this for years and didn't realize I was doing it. Just thank the Lord and say, I'm going to shut my mouth and chew my food properly. That's what I'm saying with this. Another important part and a blessing is singing. 2 Chronicles 20 and 22. And this is what we saints love to do. And I feel like we do well. And there are people that come among us and they are amazed by it and we are blessed by it. And I know they've said, so what kind of singing do you have? Do you have musical instruments? And it's like, we sing. And I said, we let all the Uncle Jessies sing in our choir because we have no choir. We let everyone sing. And I said, you know, sometimes I have been so blessed by someone who sang that necessarily did not have a melodic voice. So, when it said to make a joyful noise, that's what it meant. Because you can still be joyful, and don't be embarrassed by that. The Lord gave you your voice. He gave you a song to sing, now sing it. Sing it with gusto and with delight. Because we have a Savior. He made your voice. He made the melodic ones and he made the non-melodic ones. And to him, it's beautiful. And I have heard perfected singing, and I wasn't really blessed by it. But I have heard singing from the heart, and I have been blessed over and over again by it. 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter and the 22nd verse. And it says, "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And I believe with all my heart that when we sing and praise the Lord, it thwarts the enemy. It kills the enemy. It stops the enemy. I know there have been times that I have struggled with depression or clouds of doubt and fear. And you could sing a song and it would remove that. It would just take it away. And I thank the Lord for that. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter. The 5th chapter and the 19th verse. It says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And I believe we do it well when we come together and sing. And the songs for the revival, let them be songs that the Lord has burdened you with, not that you just think sound real good. And when you give a special song, let it be a song that has been a spiritual blessing to you. Ask the Lord to guide you in that. It's not this place of special singing is not for those who do well or don't do well. It's open, but it's to be under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Because I have seen songs that were in the right place under that unction, and it was a clincher or a prelude to a powerful message. And that can be our congregational singing. That can be our special singing. Also, you know, it said in Psalms, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." That's precious to me. Before the revival, it would not hurt for us to set aside some time, collectively or singly, it doesn't matter to me, to pray for it. To pray for ourselves, to pray for each other, to pray for the minister, to pray that the Holy Spirit would lead in this. Also, it wouldn't hurt to fast a little bit. If it might be a meal or it might be a day of fasting, set aside something that says, "Lord, I want to hear from you." I'm challenged by this myself, so I desire that you pray for me.